Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 7th of June. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, because it says so on his silly name tag that he wears in here, Steve Madrone. Good morning.
I just want to make sure you don't forget who I am, Brian.
Well, you got it backwards, so I don't really know who you are. You're just kind of traveling incognito.
Oh, there it is.
Badge okay.
You need to see my stinking badges.
Yeah. You know the smart way to do it? Turn it over for a sec.
Okay. I can let you just scan
okay.
it. Okay. Oh, you can't even scan it.
No. Have you on both sides.
Oh, there you go.
All the information. Then
novel?
There's no back. We do that with at conventions and stuff.
I doubt they really even let you in to most places. But
well, that is true. But those few weak-minded places.
Really.
Are and you ready
why do
for...
They say
why
that?
Do, yeah, why do we say it? Why do we say keep a stiff upper lip?
Well, it makes your mustache look better.
Well, great. So that's for half the audience.
That's right. Let's not be sexist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to be clear.
No, I was being sexist.
You're going to own it, huh?
Yeah. Hopefully embrace it, yes.
What a world.
All right. For at least a dozen centuries, men of England alternated between shaving and growing whiskers. Razors were used every day during most of the reign of Queen Anne. To make up for what the razor took, many a sporting fellow donned a wig. When wigs were abandoned by most people except barristers, facial hair made a comeback. Soldiers have been first to give up beards in favor of mustaches, but military men who grew them discovered a serious drawback. Hair on the upper lip, no matter how carefully clipped and waxed, moves at the slightest twitch of a muscle. Many a stern old officer, himself slow to adopt the newfangled mustache, roared and pitched and made a scene. If a young fellow insisted upon growing hair under his nose, he would have to learn how to keep
a stiff upper lip.
Movements of a mustache when standing rigidly at attention might even be considered a breach of discipline.
Oh my God.
Spreading from barracks room talk of men hoping to become known as officers and gentlemen, the phrase came to label self-control in any difficult situation.
Oh, that's a good deal. It's a sensitive area, that place underneath your nose there.
Oh, I see. You catch yourself too regularly, huh?
Well, you don't. I keep a goatee, right?
And yeah.
All the sensitive areas that I don't shave because I don't think it's very civilized.
Well, I'm glad you don't. I'm glad you have a shirt on then, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they let
don't
me
want to know about the.
Door.
Yeah.
These sandals are okay, though, right?
Embraced. Oh, jeez. Yeah, so what's new in the confines of the courthouse?
Well, we just found another $100 million, so we're looking good.
What?
Yeah, right. I wish.
On the sidewalk?
Well, there's some little tree somebody planted out front.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the one that's been dead for 3 years
no,
and still
no,
out
no.
there.
No, this is the money tree. No,
yeah.
No. In all seriousness, the budget is tight. Revenues are down. Expenses are up because we gave employees a well-deserved raise and benefit.
Well, and inflation. Don't forget
and
inflation.
And inflation has just eaten up all of that. You know, so even though we did that, and I think people.
But everything else, you know, supplies.
Oh man, everything.
You
yeah,
know.
If you can even get it right now, right?
Yeah.
So. Any rate, we are working through that process, and you know, we've made some cuts, and we're probably going to have to make a whole lot more next year and the year after, depending on where things go.
Now, a lot of folks have indicated contingency. You know, this is what the contingency fund is for.
Sure, reserves. Yeah.
Okay, but that's not Missouri. That's reserve.
Okay.
It's for.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's reserve this conversation for our budget.
Actually, I saw him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We all have aged. Yeah, just be nice.
Yes, I'm a little older today than yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, budgets are complicated. Right?
But when you said cut, is that less money to those departments cut? Or is that you didn't get to expand your budget as much as you would like to have, so you got a cut? Learned decades ago, semantics in government and budget is critical.
Yeah, they do matter. Well, we started out with asking every department to cut by 10%, and the vast majority of the departments were able to do that simply with their vacancies, right? So we budget for a certain amount of positions, but they're not necessarily all filled.
So that was, you're not looking at how much money was spent by that department last year. It's how much was budgeted for that department last year.
Correct, and then cutting back by 10% just off the top, and that solved a lot of problems, but and it didn't allow, you know, create any layoffs. We're doing everything we can to avoid layoffs. What we're doing is voluntary furloughs. We're asking for reductions in costs in a lot of different areas. We're asking for staff to try and bring in more grant funds. You know, and across the board, basically, even our board, we've taken cuts. We cut back our travel costs by 33%. Several of the board members didn't even take the raises last year that we approved.
You know, I guess I take a little offense at the travel budget being cut. Because that's where you get the new ideas.
Well,
that's a leverage point for savings and for doing things better, whether it's training.
That's right.
Or
access.
Lobbying or anything like that where you're seeing, you're getting out of Dodge.
Yep.
And what was the total amount? $10,000?
$25,000.
Yeah, okay. Right. I mean, not.
It's a drop in the bucket.
If I find that on the sidewalk, it's going to be a good day. So I don't want to dismiss it. But in the overall grand scheme of things, if each of you couldn't come back with a $5,000 idea sometime during the year, you faked us out during the election cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I guess, that kind of base level, and other department heads also.
Yeah.
I would almost insist that that would be kept intact, and let's find it somewhere else.
There certainly were arguments for that. Several of the board members did point out exactly what you just said. You know, that's how we actually bring money into the county, is by getting out there, making contacts, figuring out what resources are there, helping our departments and our tribes or other entities in the community be able to access these funds.
Knowing somebody that might save 50 hours worth of work for a department, and you make a phone call and it's done.
Yeah. Well, you're a businessman, so you recognize the importance of getting out and doing those kinds of things. So,
lifeblood.
I appreciate that perspective, absolutely. Yeah.
Next. Okay, fine.
No trap there.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more with Humboldt County Supervisors.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're at Talking Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. So, Steve, with the budgets, I think maybe the best usable reference for us is that the departments are frozen.
Basically.
Whatever they got, whatever they have, they're getting next year.
And or a little less,
yeah. Yeah, okay, by and large. I mean, there's some little areas, maybe they get a little more, maybe a little bit less, but by and large, that's where it is. Mm-hmm. Contingency fund is being accessed, which is why it's there. Mm-hmm. Okay. What percentage of the contingency fund is being accessed this year, and how much is left if you need to use it for the next budget cycle?
Yeah, well, I couldn't talk in percents, but I can say that we're using a substantial portion of it this year in order to try and balance the budget and be able to move forward.
Well, could it be replicated next year?
Next year, it's going to be a lot tougher. If revenues continue to be down,
right, everything else all the same.
Costs keep going up for labor and worker comp and everything else kinds of stuff, we're looking at a lot more serious cuts next year. There's no doubt about it, unless something changes, which nobody's projecting that right now.
How much of the county budget is predicated on local economics versus state economics versus federal economics, and then grant I kind of see four general funding cycles.
Yeah, you know, it varies by department, right? So, for instance,
sure.
DHHS actually is a very small use of the general fund because the vast majority of what they do is state and federal funded,
right?
And so they do a pretty good job of bringing in those resources to cover all those costs. The sheriff's budget, for instance, is very heavy on
kind of the inverse
general fund. Yes.
Yeah. So at 50,000 feet, I'll make you an astronaut now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at 50,000 feet, 10% federal dollars?
I mean, you gosh, know, I don't know, Brian.
For the county?
I don't really have those numbers.
Because I would think, now I know you guys are supposed to be working 5 years out, where do we want to go, all that kind of stuff, that either, well, I don't know, CAO is the one I'm thinking about, but somebody ought to.
They can answer those questions.
What those canaries are. You know, so is it the state's economic situation that's more critical than the county's? Or is it the federal? You know, and playing that game. Because I, as a secondary follow-up to that, I think that there ought to be a grant-writing department. Not every department having grant writers.
Right.
Let's get some really kick-butt people that know what's going on and turn them loose, and maybe they have to talk to the individual departments, but they know how to do this. That's all that they do, and they just start doing.
Well, that was actually part of our budget discussion yesterday, and of course next Monday.
You didn't invite me in.
You have. You know about.
Be careful, baby. Be careful.
Better than anybody else does, because you're pretty connected and all that. But what I will say is that it was on the board's discussion on Tuesday about grant writing. CSAC, the State Association of Counties, has a new program where they're providing, they're working with a consulting firm who happens to be a lobbyist for a number of counties in California, and they provide grant writing services to counties. But there was a discussion about, well, we don't want to just hire outsiders to come in and just spend a bunch of money writing things that don't turn into anything, right? You really need to be working with the grant writers in the departments. Though most of them do have them. They don't have nearly enough. You know, grant writing, if you've got any salt to you at all, and you know the business of grant writing, which I know very well, you hire people that don't just go after every grant, but they have a big menu list of all the possible grants they could go after.
The likely ones.
And then they fine-tune, like you said, likely ones, or the low-hanging fruit, or the ones that they believe they have a high likelihood of success if they go after those.
So this outfit,
you've got to pinpoint your effort.
Right.
You can't shotgun.
This outfit is paid just on a flat basis,
I believe.
Not on a commission?
Well, no, that's exactly what we probably would need to do if we're doing that kind of thing. But, you know,
or for the narrow, you know, maybe that's
there are several board members, I think, myself included, that feel strongly that we do have some great grant writers, but we could add more. And adding a good grant writer, somebody that really has like an 80% success rate or better, right? If you've got a...
Well, you don't want to be too high.
Well, if you've got a 50% success rate, or you're submitting 10 grants and you're only getting 5 of them, you're going under. That's
But if it's the 5 biggies?
Well, it does vary and it does depend. But again, you've got to focus the energy.
But if you're shooting elephants,
and
you bring in a lot of meat versus shooting lemurs, and you're starving.
I wouldn't be shooting either.
I knew I was doing. But you get 100% of the lemurs, you're not feeding the tribe.
Well, that's right. That's right, because the meat's not there. But
the
point is, you got to be very focused on what you do. And a good grant writer is worth their weight in gold, literally.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only do they bring in all that money, but they pay for their position, and they probably pay for several other positions that then have to be there to implement.
If they're just covering their costs, and
that's
a bad one.
Exactly. No, you really need to be productive. And there are ways of figuring out how to, if the persons have that ability to do that. It's not just taking a grant writing class at Cal Poly Humboldt and suddenly you're a grant writer. Yeah, you might know the technical aspects, but the stuff I was talking
about. There's an art.
How do you make that couple of phone calls and tease out, is this grant, are we the ones that they're likely to fund for this grant money? You know?
I know how we do
then
that.
Then you go after that.
Through conventions and travel and networking.
I figured you'd come back to that.
Yeah.
What, are you going to fund the board for
that didn't take
rest
too long.
Of the year on travel?
Hey,
I'm hearing here?
If you can't get 25 grand in grant, or
out of our
125?
600, million dollar budget?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
half a billion?
You got to be able to.
You think?
Yes.
Five, four.
No, with that one, I would even say I know. It's frightening yet again. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone, Humboldt County Supervisor and Chairman of the Board. Yeah, we were agreeing during the break.
I know, that's
isn't
scary, isn't it?
Quite fortunate for both of us that the microphones were off.
For you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you too. I mean, you could take a hit on this one
you
as
know,
well.
Most of us, I think, agree on about 80% or more of everything out there. But in today's world in particular, people choose to fight over their differences rather than...
It's the 20% that makes life interesting, right?
Commonality, you know, so...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how you get stuff done. As chair, I've really tried to take that role seriously of trying to get all of us behaving in a more respectful manner and recognizing that commonality. It doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, right? But if we can do it in a respectful way, hey, I think we do a lot better.
As you're looking at... the budget, everybody says the budget's a living document.
You bet.
Okay, fine. It's the roadmap for the coming year.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So as this thing is taking on its life in 3 weeks,
yes,
how are you going to know if it's on life support, if it's thriving and growing and doing what it should be, if some of the concerns or the structural changes or adjustments that were made to accommodate this year might be pulled off for next year.
Yeah.
How do you monitor? How does the county monitor that? Because I know you folks, as the electeds, you're supposed to be out 5 years.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be worrying about today. You're supposed to be worrying about down the road. Is that the CAO's office, or is that all of the department heads kind of monitoring and sharing? How does that
together?
Communication occur?
Well, it's everything together, and we do a mid-year review. You know, that's the primary tool that we use to double-check. The other thing is, as you know, we had a lot of problems in our auditing systems, and we were getting way behind on all kinds of things and getting into trouble with the state, potentially lowering our bond ratings and all
kinds
of
really
issues,
squirreled.
You know?
Have you started to hear feedback?
Yes,
have the bond ratings come gone down? Or
a lot of that takes,
we get lucky.
Takes years to actually occur. By the time they drop it, we're actually probably doing a lot better, and so it's sort of a delayed response type of thing. But what we do know is that we are closing the books on 3 years all at once in the next 6 months. So 2021, just about ready to close. It's with the auditor. 21, 22.
The state auditor.
No, with our auditor.
Okay.
Yeah, our private
auditor.
So
they haven't.
That's about ready to be completed and done. 21, 22 is going to be done over the next couple of months. 22, 23 will be done on time by the end of the year, and we will be caught up. And doing that actually tells us this is what you actually spent, this is what you actually received in revenue.
Will it save the bond ratings, though?
I don't know. I've never really dealt in that world very in a big way, but where it comes into play is new projects, big, you know. Facilities,
of course. Well, and for the next 10 years.
All of that stuff.
I mean, that's a cumulative.
We need money to be able to do projects to build the campuses.
Like a jail?
Talking about. Well, you know, the jail is happening, but, you know, there are a lot of other projects we need to be doing with our properties.
Oh, there's lots of things.
Yep.
Now this is probably private, not public, because I would tend to stay away from the day-to-day, but that's something I would want to know, because you can see if all of a sudden it's costing the county tens of millions or millions of dollars more for projects because of the bond rating.
Right.
That's a major hit.
Well, it
even
is.
If we're in financially solid situation, let alone a tenuous one like we seem to be entering into at this point.
Yeah, well, I believe we're repairing that reputation rapidly, and I'm not sure how much it affected it. I know there was a lot of talk about how it was going to affect it, but again, because of the delay factors and stuff, we may be getting caught up just in time.
That's
the good news.
I guess that would be a phone call if I was you I would make today.
Yeah.
Because it will impact.
Certainly.
And it's a sneaky impact, too.
Yeah, it is.
You don't
it can
see that.
Your ability to move forward on capital projects and things
like
that.
Yeah, or maintain staff.
Well, all of those things.
That stuff. Yeah. So what are going to be your canaries in that you look at to say, maybe things are going okay? Is it sales tax? I mean, because that's the big variable, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we kind of ride with the state, although we took a bigger hit earlier because of the cannabis tax and some other things, right? So Humboldt has actually declined a little more quickly than the state. Some counties actually look to be somewhat balanced. You know, it varies, although the future doesn't look so bright in terms of increasing revenues there. But there are other areas we might be able to increase revenues that we have.
Don't you
horizon.
Look at me when you say that.
I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at your short-term rentals. No, I have no idea if you have any, but that's an area where, you know, there's estimated to be over 1,000 short-term rentals in the community, and in many cases they were
those
created,
are like rent by a week,
rent by day,
or
rent
less
by, anything less than 30 days apparently
okay.
is a short-term.
So
rental.
So TOT generated.
Well,
or what could qualify
question.
As?
Are they paying TOT? Some of them, yes, thank you very much, but not all of them are, and it's hard to track.
Well,
they're not actually legal in the county.
So it's the registration of them as well as...
Which happens with VRBO. So on VRBO, they require people, if they're going to be on their site, to pay the TOT, and then VRBO reimburses that to the counties.
So that's the standard.
So that's a piece of the pie.
Now, when I was on the Visitors Bureau, I don't even know if they're still around.
They are, barely.
20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And there was always thought that the city of Eureka, and this was back when previous management was there, they would spot check the TOT. Mm-hmm. And they would always find out of compliance.
Certainly.
And then there were those that just didn't.
Yes.
Now, if you magnify that and put that into the county areas.
Yeah. 1,000 units, 200 days a year rented.
You know, it doesn't sound like a heck of one or two room nights a mm-hmm. night. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
Yeah.
Cumulatively, quite a big deal.
Well, we're talking millions of dollars potentially in terms of the TOT tax.
So who for the county oversees that?
So we're working on an ordinance, and yesterday, because what we've seen in many communities is that when you get ready to implement a new ordinance, on billboards or on short-term rentals, which we were discussing yesterday, what happens typically is there's a big surge of people trying to get in projects before, you know, the ordinance kicks.
Before the fine. Right? Sure.
Before
that makes sense.
That and I get all that, but so we passed an emergency ordinance yesterday for short-term rentals that basically is going to say, for anybody thinking about doing a short-term rental from here into the future, you don't have standing. You're not guaranteed in any way that that's going to be legal when our ordinance comes into play here later this year.
Effective yesterday?
Effective yesterday in terms of standing, right? So if you had built one before yesterday, that still doesn't guarantee that you're ultimately going to get a permit for it. But if you build it after yesterday, then you are definitely not going to be in line to be able to get a permit.
So why not make it date specific, let's say, the new fiscal year.
It was as of yesterday.
And then everybody scrambles.
It's the date the ordinance passes, right?
You can't delay that implementation?
Well, I imagine you probably could, but we did it as of the date of yesterday.
I'm thinking kind of like with all the marijuana guys, all of a sudden there's the flood. Everybody trying to get legal.
You know, just to be clear, it's not like we don't want short-term rentals, but it does have a massive impact on housing availability, especially when it's conversions of existing housing into short-term rentals and people are getting booted out and now they can't even find a rental.
Oh, I was just thinking on the revenue side of things, it's an even playing field then.
Well, it is, and right now, and now all the revenue is going to the individual developer and who's doing it, but they're not paying the taxes.
Or the homeowner. Or, I mean, I don't imagine there's too many people building houses.
There's a lot of profit
for that purpose.
There are
people who own, and they're
building a short-term rental.
Or they may show up for a third of the year, you know, when the weather, quote-unquote, is better, right, or that kind of thing,
right,
and they rent it out otherwise.
Yeah, but
I thought that was just simple zoning ordinance.
It is zoning ordinance, and we don't have...
So it's a code enforcement issue, then.
Well, it is, but there's 1,000 of them in the county, and we haven't been enforcing any of that.
Okay.
So if neighbors call and complain, I think it's the second complaint that code enforcement gets involved.
Who handles code enforcement?
Planning and building. They do all the code enforcement now.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a big thing, and what we really want to do is try and bring people into compliance.
Yeah.
And it is a potential large revenue stream. In fact, it's such a big stream... The state of California is considering a 16% tax on short-term rentals. And it's like, well, I think it'd be better if we handle that at the local level instead of getting the hand-me-downs from the state after they've managed it and taken.
But, you know, now it's legal for you to be able to travel in, what, 38 states? California had that ban. You guys couldn't go to
38 states.
Or whatever it was. You couldn't go to certain states for conventions and things like that because it was on the California... list.
That was before my time.
They got he got pulled off last week.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
interesting.
I guess I don't travel. I don't get out enough.
No, they blinked. Well, and a lot of it was because, from what I understand, because UCLA is now part of a football conference that is in many of these states.
Isn't it interesting?
They wouldn't be able to play there.
Yeah. Always interesting
Whoops.
What the triggers are, right?
Yeah. You betcha. You run for president, Gavin. It's 8:45. We'll be back with more.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer. Our neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. So, Steve, at this point, are you feeling cautiously okay with the budget, looking at some of these key indices that are out there? Are we going to see some of those fundamental changes like economic development being pulled off and peeled off into its own department, that grant writing department might be there? And I would think, even if certain department heads were a little hesitant about that, if they had input in their areas, you know, their person could still be involved in the process.
Great,
then the heavy lifting is being done by these folks, and your ace comes in and you fine tune it instead of having to do the heavy lift. Is that something that is a determination at the supervisor level, or is that something that is done at the supervisor's level, not the supervisorial level in the departments? Or is that the CAO? I mean, it's got to be somebody who's overlooking the whole nine yards there rather than one department saying, yeah, sign me up.
It's all of us together, but ultimately it'll be a board decision in regards to staffing and where we put that staffing and where we put budget resources to do these things. Clearly, you know, when we're looking at our budgets, right, there's how do you reduce expenses? How do you increase revenues through your standard streams of revenues, right? And then there's this whole other area of going after additional revenues, right? And that has to do with grant writing, and how you approach that matters. And I absolutely
think... How many bodies do you think you need? I mean, first step, first stage, how many do you think?
You know,
two or three
we
people?
We have a lot of departments, right? We have... How many departments do we have? I mean, it's less than 20, more than 10.
I mean, it would have to be limited, I would think, early on. You wouldn't want to suddenly have 20 people.
I mean, in an ideal world, I think the model whereby we do it as much as we can in-house, because we're tied to the information, we're tied to the community, I think. And if it's tied to performance, all those things matter. But I do agree that I think there needs to be staff in the department so that they know the technical aspects of what they're doing and what they're going after. But then to have something, say, an economic development that is able to package everything, to do a lot of the rote work to make sure it's timely, it gets done and in, but you need to be conferring with those departments on the micro details.
The communication.
I think that's a great way to approach it, frankly.
So you think it could be under economic development then?
I do. I think it absolutely could.
So if you hire, I'm sure you guys could find $250,000. Hire two kick butt people. Carve that off into its own department or division.
Well, that's
you
the
make.
Thing, you know.
So what's the
what's
the hesitation?
I don't think there is a hesitation. I think it's a timing issue. I think we're heading in that direction, and it's all a matter of just
so then what time,
through the details.
What time can we hear about this?
You talk to me tomorrow at 8 a.m. So.
No. Stacy will be in tomorrow at 8.
Over
Sorry,
this
dude.
Year, I believe, over okay. this coming calendar year, I think we're going to make some significant progress in that area.
Make it happen.
Yeah,
cool.
Because these are our tax dollars. Let's bring them home.
Yeah, let's just make sure that the tax dollar pot locally generated doesn't expand too quickly.
Okay.
Either. Thank you. See everybody tomorrow.